Welcome to the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I am not Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. We've got a quick podcast for you today. We'll be coming back later this week with a much longer podcast. And if you did not listen to our last podcast, you can find that at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, at JoeBucksFan.com. We do a deep dive with Ira on all kinds of things, and we get the fan perspective from Josh Martin, the owner of Florida's Elite Restoration, who's really just a regular Bucks fan, and it's always great to hear that perspective from the guy in the stands. Now, we are presented today by Bill Curry Ford. They present all of Ira's work at JoeBucksFan.com. And the biggest thing you need to know about Bill Curry Ford is very simple. Family owned since 1960, still owned and operated by the Curry family. Back in 1960, they were the only Tampa Ford dealership, and they are here bigger and better than ever. The Giant is 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. It's the biggest service department in Florida. They've got the best deals on vehicles. Find them at BillCurryFord.com and schedule your mobile service, meaning service at your property for no additional charge. It's free. Of course, you're going to pay for what you would pay for service at, in the shop, but there's no extra charge to come out to your property. And of course, Bill Curry Ford has loaner vehicles. They'll tow your vehicle back to the shop. BillCurryFord.com. Now, we are recording at Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue. Thank you, Hooters. Took us about 90 seconds to get the audio right, but we figured that out pretty quickly. It was kind of funny. The Champions League big match was yesterday, 2:30 kickoff in Europe, and a big crowd poured in to watch the game at Hooters because you got every game at Hooters, and it's a great atmosphere. And we were not expecting that as we sat down to record and the crowd started filing in. So we got a lot of that background noise out. Florida's Elite Restoration, they are ready for you 24/7 at their website, floridaselite-restoration.com. They've got 5-star Google reviews across the board. They are your go-to company when you have a disaster at your property like mold, storm damage, water damage, flood, fire, whatever it is. You call them first. You call them 24/7. They will evaluate everything at no charge at your property. They'll talk to you. They'll treat you like real people. They're a family-owned business. Josh Martin and his team, great thing about them is they've got decades of experience on the insurance side of the industry, so they know how to navigate a claim for you and make sure you get paid and make sure the work gets done as well. And they're a one-stop shop, so not only are they going to restore your property if you need them to, they'll rebuild something or they will replace a kitchen, whatever it is. floridaselite-restoration.com. Check them out. Put them in your disaster plan. Storm season is around the corner. floridaselite-restoration.com. All right, let's head down to Hooters and get it rolling. Ira Kaufman himself, the water damage whisperer, is in New Orleans, as regular listeners know. Ira's on a week of vacation this week. He'll be back for our huge pre-draft podcast next Monday. So we're excited to be recording that with draft guru Sean Sullivan. Today was general manager Jason Light addressing the media, about 28 minutes of questions on the draft at One Buck Place. And of course, while Light talked for 28 minutes, maybe he said about 90 seconds worth of worthy material, but still plenty to get to from that and to debate and discuss. And Lee DeCamper's here. And Lee, we're excited to do a fast and dirty podcast here.
Dirty in what way? A lot of bleeps?
Not that dirty.
No mud wrestling?
No mud wrestling. I wanted to mention that Light was very confident, very relaxed. He certainly matured a lot since his early days. Took a ton of questions, didn't have to go as long as he did. But one thing that came up was tight ends. And, you know, we've got now Mel Kiper saying the Bucks. I like that Kiper came out with his mock draft early, which I bet you somebody at ESPN said, hey, you know what, Mel? Why don't you switch things up? Put out your final mock 8 days early, and you'll get way more clicks. Way more people will see you and get a good vibe from you leading into our draft night coverage, and you got your second round mock. I'm surprised more TV leaders, directors, whatever you want to call them, producers, haven't mandated that to get these drafts out early, because the ones that come out the day before, they don't have much shelf life.
Well, I'm thinking just the opposite. They used to build like an hour and a half show around his mock draft. And let's be honest, ESPN at the end of the day, it's not a newspaper, it's a TV station. And the website's just a byproduct of the TV station. So I'm actually honestly surprised because, again, they would build a 90-minute programming around his last draft.
Well, I think it speaks to how things have changed because nobody wants to sit around and watch 90 minutes of anything anymore.
That's a fair point.
They want the cut-ups. They want to just see the highlights on social media. And
90 seconds on social media.
Burn through a video when they want to watch it. So it's changed for ESPN a little bit, but I get what you're saying, too. I mean, hype is still hype, and there are people that will sit down and watch it.
Maybe part of the reason is they own NFL Network now, so they'll have their own show still. Instead of being Kuiper, it's Daniel Jeremiah or Peter Schrager.
Yeah, we'll see how it all changes. But Kuiper has the Bucks taking Kenyon Sadiq, essentially saying that, hey, the talent is too much to look past. Bill Polian on SiriusXM NFL Radio this week thinks the Bucks are going with Sadiq if he's there. Polian thinks he'll be gone. Kuiper thinks maybe he would go a pick before to the Ravens at 14. But Jason Light today was asked about homework on tight ends. Bucks have been doing homework. I talked to Todd Bowles at the owners' meetings. He said, oh, yeah, putting in a lot of work on tight ends, you know. But he would say that about any position. But but Light sort of almost laughed it off today, saying, well, there's a lot of good tight ends, so we got to do a lot of homework on them. So what are your thoughts there?
He used the word great in suggesting that the Bucks could get an athletic tight end. It'd be great if we can get one. Usually don't use the word great like that. And so to me, that was a big tip off that, oh yeah, they're looking. They may not get they may not get Sadiq, but they're looking. I got to be honest with you, I don't know of any quote unquote great unquote athletic tight ends in the draft outside of Sadiq, with the exception of Michael Trigg down in Baylor. Can't block worth a damn, but boy, he can go downfield. He's an absolute mismatch. So and Sadiq, I'm starting to read bad things about him. Like, he's a head case, he doesn't like to hustle, and I don't know. But, I mean, I used to be, and I still am, big on Michael Trigg, but I've been reading some things. I'm starting to wonder, well, maybe this guy isn't the guy. But in it, for weeks, if not months, I was thinking, go get an inside linebacker at 15, trade down, whatever. And in the third round, you get this Michael Trigg.
Yeah, I haven't heard much bad about Sadiq, seen much bad, but you never know. Sometimes those things come out late to try to knock a guy down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the misdirection comments.
Bong mask.
That get out there. Yeah, the bong mask situation from years ago with, what was his name?
Larry McTunsil?
Yeah, the offensive lineman knocked him down in the draft. So, regardlessly, what I think was telling from that, knowing Jason Light, is he didn't mention Devin Culp. Now, a lot of fans love Devin Culp and his potential as a guy who can catch balls down the field. They've seen him make a couple of plays. But usually Light would be like, well, you know, we think Devin Culp can stretch the field and he's developing. Didn't mention him.
That's a great point.
That's usually something that comes from Light.
And I'm like a lot of fans. I've seen a few plays he's made and it just whets my appetite what that guy might be able to do.
And he also did not say, hey, Cade Otton can stretch the field, guys.
Nope.
We've seen it. So those two things, what he didn't say was telling.
On top of what he did say, which is we're great.
So maybe they're looking at whoever it is that they can find that can stretch the field to complement Otten. If they don't get him, I'm sure they're not worried about it in the least. Now, another thing Light said, but before we get to that, the incredible lease deals right now at Bill Curry Ford, you got to go look at them. They're at BillCurryFord.com. As Sean Sullivan, the GM, highlighted in his podcast, there are manager specials there. There are just incredible offers and opportunities on so many vehicles. So get to BillCurryFord.com. Don't forget to ask Sean Sullivan for the Joe Bucks fan discount. You can find him at the website, BillCurryFord.com. They've been there 65 years, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Don't worry, drive Curry. And Lee, Light was asked about edge rushers. Okay, so look, everybody knows the Bucks need edge rush help. They need edge rush talent. And what Light tried, the point he tried to make was that we believe in our scouting of edge rushers because we see all the guys that we really liked on other teams, and we know that our scouting and evaluation of them was good based on what we've seen them do elsewhere. It's kind of a wacky logic to a degree.
Yeah.
But I get what he's saying, but where do you stand on this?
Well, first, could you make an argument?
He was talking about guys on other teams that the Bucks did not select. Basically, you'll pick an edge rusher on another team. Hey, we like that guy, but we weren't able to get him because he was 11 picks ahead and we couldn't get him.
Well, there you go. It wasn't that they couldn't get him. They were unwilling to get him. There's a difference. They were unwilling. Oh, he's 11 picks. Well, trade for him then. You know you need an edge rush. You like this guy? Go get him. What are you doing? The litany of excuses this team has for not developing the edge rush is galling, man. Absolutely galling. And today as well, in the very same media availability Jason Light had, he admitted, he goes, yeah, we've had a better job trading for edge rushers and signing edge rushers than drafting them. I'm like, okay, then why didn't you trade for one then? You could have. Oh, no, that fourth-round pick, I'd rather give up my oldest son than give up that fourth-round pick.
Sure, and you know what, Lee? We got a very complimentary email from a listener of the podcast, came through today. If I had brought my laptop, I'd be reading, quoting from it, but talking about how much he loves Ira, loves the podcast, loves our work, listens to everything. But he asked me to address the edge rush debate with you, the great Ira Kaufman, Lee DeCamper edge rush debate. And what he said was, and I wish I could quote, but I can't, but that's all right. He said, hey, look, Lee, I love you, but I think you're being a little harsh. He said, you know, Shaq Barrett came here with like 14 career sacks. And while he was a veteran and while he had, you know, been elsewhere, it's a big gap from 14 sacks over four years to 19 and becoming a superstar. So you could argue Bulls developed that, got that out of him.
And he was also in a log jam at Denver behind a Hall of Famer. So, I mean, he didn't get a chance to get 14 or 12 sacks or whatever.
And the listener also said, hey, JPP came here as a bit of a question mark after blowing up his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned out quite good here and transitioning to a 3-4 defense, mm-hmm. which he had never played before. And the guy also goes on to say, hey, yeah, Diaby's a solid number two. As a third-round pick.
Solid number two.
Yeah.
But they're not looking for a solid number two.
Sure. The reader wanted to express that and say, are you being a little harsh? In part because I'm not wanting to draft one. He pointed out, he said, Lee used to say that cornerbacks, the Bucks should just sign veterans because they're doing a terrible job developing these guys.
At quarterback?
At cornerback.
Oh, corner.
Hargraves, etc. He said you used to make that point back years ago. And then the Bucks had success drafting corners.
Yeah.
How do you want to respond?
Well, first off, I never suggested Bowles was rotten at developing defensive backs. That's number one. Number two, we're also, you know, the key word here is development. Shaq was a veteran in a logjam. JPP was already established. And I said on one of the podcasts, I referred to Bowles with edge rushers as the Dave Duncan of the NFL. And shockingly, Ira knew who Dave Duncan, the player, was, had no idea who Dave Duncan, the pitching coach, was. And for those who wonder what I'm talking about, Dave Duncan was a longtime pitching coach with Tony La Russa. White Sox, A's, Cardinals, wherever La Russa went, Duncan went. Duncan chewed up so many rookie arms, it's pathetic. But give him a veteran, he worked magic with the guy. Now, I'm not going to use the word magic with Bowles, but Bowles has shown with veterans he can get an edge rush.
I got a question for you, and it's something that you had brought up, and it's just a little twist on it. We're not going to spend more than 30 seconds on it. But you had suggested Jason Pierre-Paul was brought in last year to possibly be a mole for Jason mm-hmm. Light. He came back for a few weeks, and he could sniff out the locker room, who's a problem, who's not, what's the vibe, what's going on. Is it possible that some of that mole that you talked about was for, we assumed, you phrased it as the players. Could it have been for the assistant coaches?
Sure.
For JPP to say, hey, I don't like the way Foot's coaching them up now off the edge. And these guys here, they don't
or
seem
Charlie
well coached.
Strong, or, yeah.
Yeah, whatever, yeah.
Absolutely. Could it be? Absolutely.
It might have played out that way.
Yeah.
You never know. All right. So Jason Light continuing to talk. He was asked if the Bucks are, you know, close as far as them being a Super Bowl team. And Light sort of gave a long-winded answer, but said, yeah. Yeah, I think we're close. And I was so glad he gave that answer because the bottom line is we've seen it over and over in the NFL. You get three good starters out of a draft who are hit the ground running as rookies, mm-hmm. which usually there's a few teams every year that do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can turn yourself into a serious contender immediately. And look at the Bucks in 2020. They decided going into that draft, we need a tackle who can block for Tom Brady from day one. They got one. And he was very successful, and they desperately needed a safety who came in and started and was good from day one. So the Bucks are probably three draft picks, whereas those Bucks of 2020 were two draft picks away. But if they don't grab a receiver, if they don't grab a tight end, if they on their defensive side, I think if they nailed three out of their first four picks and they're on defense, yeah, I think they could be competing for more than just the division title.
I don't know. Not defense. I don't know. Earlier today, I was speaking with someone, and I thought it'd be 2 or 3 years away. I'll give you two. I don't know if the Bucks are going to find enough defensive players this spring to turn this into a playoff team. However, and this is sort of directed toward all the people that want to run Light out of town. And every once in a while, someone will come to me, why don't you want to get rid of Light? How come you aren't killing Light? Because he built the Super Bowl winner. I'd rather take my chances on a guy who's proven he could do it as opposed to some guy you hope he can do it. That's number one. Number two is, I don't live in Seattle. I've only been there once. That's when the Bucks beat the Seahawks last year. Yes, I was in a I witnessed that with my own eyes. Was there a clamoring in Seattle to run off John Schneider? They ran into some dry times in Seattle.
Well, there was clamoring to run off Pete Carroll from a front office
standpoint. I can see that.
Because Carroll, he was very heavy into the draft, and Schneider sort of got his freedom to be the all-consuming, controlling guy when Carroll left. So it's dicey, but you mentioned Seattle. The Buccaneers put out a new In the Current video. Assistant GM Rob McCartney was featured heavily in that video, and he starts off talking at a staff meeting in the front office saying that Seattle lets us know how close we are because of how well we played them and what they're all about and all that. So, you know, I'm sure they do have that mindset. Another thing that came out in that video from Light and McCartney, it did not come up today at the news conference, is that the Bucks went out of their way and have been seeking, and a theme of the offseason is filing violent players. Mm-hmm. Violence. And it was made clear in that video also, hey, and Light has said it, we can have our standards, we can have our eye on that man, we can have all the character high bars we want, we can still get violent guys. So we just got to narrow it down because we want to be bullies. And it was a nice acknowledgement of them that, yeah, you guys were soft.
They were soft, and they know it. They were soft.
So they got some badasses, and I expect more coming in the draft.
To that point, that's why I'm not ruling out Kendon McDonald, defensive tackle for Ohio State. It's clear right now, if you can't develop an edge rusher, or you don't have one, either way, that you just load up on defensive tackles and go that way. Philadelphia's done that. Houston's done that. Seattle did that. They won the Super Bowl. So, you know, Light's talking about emphasis on violence. What do all those threes have in common with their defensive line? Violence.
Houston's sort of an exception because they got the edge rushers. So they're just crazy violent, period, all over the place.
Now, real quick, the reason why I brought up Seattle earlier, you know, was there clamoring in Seattle for John Schneider? He built the Super Bowl team, and then they had some dry period. The reason why I bring that up, even though I do not think the Bucs defense can get them back to the Super Bowl, I just think there are too many players away. I'm not ruling it out, but I just wouldn't put money on it. Having said that, the reason why I brought up John Schneider in Seattle was, who thought Seattle and New England would get to the Super Bowl? So I can't rule out the Bucks. You know, I'm not saying they will, but we've seen in very recent history two non-playoff teams turn things around like that.
Absolutely. So right now you're in the six-win camp, 6 to 6.5 wins, but it's early, and I'm glad you don't rule it out. So
I try to be open-minded.
Jason Light, he sort of doubled down on what we've reported, and I came out of the owners' meetings telling fans here that, hey, Light is very serious when he's talking about trading down. And he obviously does want to trade down. He emphasized that today. He didn't say, well, maybe we'll trade up. No, it was all down, 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 and how deep the draft is. I get the feeling, Lee, that it's obvious the Bucks are going to draft an inside linebacker and want the guy to start.
Yeah.
That's obvious. And
didn't Bowles tell you he thinks there's 10 to 12
yeah.
inside linebackers that are quality?
Yeah, but tied to that is, if we believe that's true, we know the Bucks absolutely don't want to reach
true
as it relates to their board to that guy. So, meaning, let's say they're at the second round, they could take their inside linebacker, but there's three guys they like more on their board. They don't want to reach for the guy that they don't think is that guy. So, if Light picks up that extra third round pick, second round pick, he could feel comfortable that he can maneuver to get his guy without burning assets. Mm-hmm. And I really think that's where they are right now. I think Light would love to trade down, draft McDonald at 20, and have an extra third-round pick to get his inside linebacker that, as Light said, and he acknowledged today, whoever we get, I'm going to tell you, the media, that's the guy we were targeting all along.
That was my favorite line all the time. I'm going to come in here and say, hey, we got our guy.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That's how it is. Whoever they get, we got our guy.
Every year.
Logan Hall, that's our guy.
There are two things that happen every year in football. I could write a story right now. The only thing I need to do is plug in a name. One is, we got our guy in the first round. And college football coaches on recruiting day, we got the guys we were looking for. For once, I wanted to hear a college coach, and maybe Steve Spurrier was that guy. I begged for a coach to come out like, we got all these freaking slugs. I don't know how we're going to win.
Yeah, it's just how it is. Light acknowledged, the board is 95% set, the draft board. So fans think about that. Are they angling or whatever? Light even implied that the top 30 visits that he still hasn't completed yet, they don't really mean that much. Because he said that, you know, not a lot's going to change, you know.
One of the things I thought was neat when Light talked about his 95% finished board, he said him and or Todd Bowles will just randomly show up in each other's offices and start going over players, like start haggling it out. Like,
yeah, he painted a picture that he said, we don't have set meetings, but we talk every day. He said it might be like Bowles is watching a certain guy and then just walks in and say, hey, have you rewatched this guy yet? I like this, I like that, and vice versa. So I thought about it today, Lee. This is Todd Bowles' fifth draft, draft number 5 with Jason Light. It's the longest he's been with a head coach.
Yeah.
Longest he's been with a head coach.
2 years with Arians, 3 years with Cutter, and 2 years with Lovey.
3 years with Arians, 19, 20, 21, and then Arians, you know, bailed right before the 2022 draft. So these guys know each other very well, and Light praised Todd for not being the guy to be like, we can't draft this guy, we don't stick to our board, that he's very open-minded and had no problem with Ibuka last year. And I was told a long time ago from somebody in the know that Todd Bowles has to be the easiest head coach to work with as a GM because he's so agreeable and, you know, isn't bringing all sorts of preconceived notions to the draft process. And I think part of that might be because Bowles worked in scouting
with the Packers, right?
Before he became a head coach. Yeah.
Well, he's even said, I think he told you this, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, that this may have been off the record or not. But didn't he tell you that you do have to stick to your board, otherwise you're basically spitting on your staff? They work their ass off and do all this work, and if you don't follow the board, that's basically like telling them we don't like your work.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, he didn't say spitting on your staff, but he kind of said, hey, you know, you put in all that work for a reason, and, you know, it's not good for anybody when you just throw it out the window on a last-second win.
Like Chucky?
You know? Yeah, like Chucky, yeah. Light talked about Chris Godwin and how he feels that he'll be back, you know, being back very strong. Mm-hmm. And I heard that, and I was like, well, you're paying the guy $22 million. He better be ready to play. Light said he's got no issue or no, he doesn't ding a prospect for age. So he said a guy could be, you know, whatever age a guy is, doesn't matter. They're great in the film.
Yeah, it's not ideal, but it's not a deal breaker.
He did say he would love to draft only 21-year-olds.
Yeah.
So that might be a tip. Now, obviously, Akeem Mezidor is the old guy in this draft at 25. Last year, the oldest guy, and there was only one guy 25 and older in the draft, and that was Tyler Shook, who got drafted. And the Bucs, of course, have David Walker, who was 24, the edge rusher who didn't play last year. When he was drafted last year, he's going to be, he turned 25 in June. He's going to be 26 this June, hasn't played yet. So I don't think, because of David Walker, I think the Bucs are not as interested in the older edge rusher. That's just my opinion.
Older edge rusher. I thought you were going to say no edge rusher.
No. I'd still bet money that they draft an edge rusher in round one, and I probably will end up investing some money that they draft an edge rusher in round one.
Kalshi?
We'll see. So, you know, Lee Light talked about he loves being an underdog, which, you know, he kind of thinks he's like Baker Mayfield. You know, he said he's had that attitude his whole life, which, that's a good thing. But the last thing that was of note that we'll get to, Lee, I want to remind everybody first, as we heard to open the podcast, Florida's Elite Restoration. Get to their website, floridaselite restoration.com. Consider them the guardians of your property in a disaster or even during the year if you have a repair or you've got to remodel something. They're a one-stop shop, but that's who you call 24/7 when you have any sort of water damage, fire, flood, mold, storm damage at your property. They'll get out there and give you a free inspection. FloridasEliteRestoration.com and the Best in Class podcast. Catch up on all your position breakdowns. Draft guru Sean Sullivan, he's finished the defense, so you can go listen to cornerbacks and safeties. You can listen to defensive tackles. They're all fast and with an eye on the Bucks. And, of course, our friends at Bill Curry Ford are there for you 24/7. Start shopping now at BillCurryFord.com. So, Lee, Jason Light named, I'll call it nine leaders. Now, it's more than that.
Oh, yeah.
But he named Tyke Smith, Kalijah Kancey, Bucky Irving, Vita Vea, the entire offensive line, Alex Anzalone, Gainwell, the new running back, Kenny Gainwell, and Miles, I forgot his last name.
Killebrew?
Yeah, Killebrew, the special teams ace. So that's a lot of leaders. What did you think about that list?
Well, I think I've said it umpteen times, the leaders is just so overblown and so overused. If you can't produce, I don't care what kind of quote-unquote leader you are.
Oh, we know that. What'd you think of Light's list?
Agreeable with one exception. You know, I've said many times in this podcast, I've written it many times, that a lot of times, i.e. David Walker, Light will give shout-outs to that I'm convinced, even though they sound utterly ridiculous, I'm convinced it's on purpose because he wants to give a guy a boost of confidence in the public arena. Bucky is not how I would define a leader. I'm not anti-Bucky. I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying if I had to define a leader, Bucky would not be that. But he had a rough year last year for a variety of reasons, and I'm convinced Light called him out as a leader to give him a public boost of confidence. Like, we're behind you, man. You're one of our greatest assets. You inspire people.
Yeah, I agree with you completely on Bucky. That was sort of out of left field.
Yeah, it was.
For a guy who missed a chunk of the season and sort of had a mental breakdown and, you know, had to be away from the team a little bit. So that was a little bit strange. But I thought it was a little strange, and I know it was an oversight by Light, but he didn't mention Baker Mayfield.
So yeah, has someone brought it up to him.
So that was a little odd.
Oh, that's a leader?
On his list when he went down
his
list.
Yeah, but I'm going to give him the benefit of that, and he thinks everybody already knows that. You know,
I agree with you completely.
Well, you notice he kept saying, oh, I'm going to omit somebody. There you go.
Exactly. So, look, we've got the draft countdown. We got another podcast coming this week, and we've got more to get to. I mean, you could carve up different things that Light said, but I don't think there's really much more to it. You know, the Bucks have to get a starting inside linebacker in this draft.
Period.
They got to get, in my opinion, more edge rush talent. Where they get it, who knows? And they desperately need depth on the offensive line. They got to get at least somebody in there more than the Justin Schooley raving that Jason Light was doing today. They got to get an inside prospect.
A guard.
A guard center type.
Yeah. I agree.
And there's some versatile guys out there. We'll get into names a lot on our next two podcasts. Lee, you got a final thought for Bucks fans?
The draft is almost here, ladies and gentlemen. We could smell Light talking about they got the guy they wanted.
Yeah, and Sage will be back soon. And Ira, if you're listening, lay off the gumbo, buddy.